May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, David helped us to reconsider the challenging, multi-layered parable of the Good Samaritan. In this Sunday's Gospel reading, we move to a domestic scene. But this little incident in the house of Mary and Martha is equally challenging in a different way. I would like to suggest that it raises two challenges for us. One, perhaps, which present-day Western cultures may take for granted, but the other, which is profoundly countercultural. Jesus is welcomed into the home of Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. There are several stories about this family in Bethany told in both Luke and John's Gospels, and it seems that Jesus was a regular visitor to their home. In this incident, there is no mention of Lazarus, and the focus is on the two sisters and their relationship with Jesus. Martha is preparing a meal for Jesus and is busy with her duties in the kitchen. Meanwhile, Mary, we're told, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. The two sisters respond very differently to Jesus' visit. Martha is doing what would be expected of her in a culture where roles between men and women were strictly demarcated. She's working in the kitchen, the female space in the house, preparing a meal for Jesus and maybe also for Lazarus and the other men who may be arriving shortly. But Mary is in the other room, sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, sitting at the feet of a teacher or a rabbi was a decidedly male role. We're told in the book of Acts that Saul sat at the feet of the rabbi Gamaliel. This meant learning as a student with a view to becoming a rabbi yourself, as one commentator points out about this passage, saying, Mary has quietly taken her place as a would-be preacher and teacher of the kingdom of God. Martha may be shocked by this, but Jesus affirms Mary's right to do so, telling Martha that Mary has chosen the better part. Now, of course, this is not the only time that Jesus welcomes women to learn from him and to engage in theological conversation with him and then sending them out to take his message to others. Think of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman by the well and the impact that her testimony had on others. Or think of Mary Magdalene that the risen Jesus sent out to take his message to the disciples. Jesus treated women seriously and encouraged them to take their part in learning from him and sharing his message with others. And in the early church, women like Priscilla and Phoebe were involved in the teaching and leading of the church. We may take it for granted that women, as well as men, can be both disciples and teachers of the faith. But this was not the case in Jesus' day. However, Jesus was the boundary breaker. He broke down barriers and boundaries between Jews and Samaritans, but also boundaries between men and women. All were called to follow him, to learn from him, and to share his message with others. This first challenge in this story we may now take for granted, at least in many churches in Western cultures. Certainly in this church, having a woman chaplain, you're used to a woman teaching the faith, and I'm not aware that it is an issue with anyone in this church, or they haven't told me anyway. Maybe they'll tell me afterwards. But of course, for some churches in some parts of the world, this would be more problematic for a variety of reasons. I haven't got time to go into those reasons today. But the second challenge in this story speaks very pertinently into our activist Western culture, including here in Switzerland. Because there is a contrast in this story, not just between two different roles and expectations of women, but between anxious busyness and reflective listening. And this contrast is relevant to all of us, men and women. As Martha busies herself in the kitchen preparing a meal for Jesus, we're told Martha was distracted by her many tasks. She is clearly stressed and overwhelmed, and also irritated and resentful of Mary, who seems to be doing nothing. And she exclaims to Jesus, "Why do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." We may indeed sympathize with this outburst from Martha. We will all be able to recognize times when we are overwhelmed with all that we feel we need to do. It may not be in the kitchen. It may be teaching and lecturing. It may be working for a business, or simply juggling the endless number of tasks we seem to be faced with day by day in modern life. We can be busy too in the church, and we can feel like Martha that our primary task is to do something for Jesus rather than to receive from him as Mary does. While Martha is distracted and flustered, perhaps trying to make a perfect meal for Jesus, Mary simply spends time in his presence, sitting at his feet and listening to him. Well, we might think, that's okay, they're just two different personalities and they respond in different ways. But notice that Jesus doesn't say, "Martha, thank you very much for working hard and making a special meal. Your way of busy activity and Martha's way of prayerful listening are equally valid ways of being. We're just all different, and we must all follow the best way for us." That's perhaps the way we might expect a modern-sounding Jesus, what we'd expect a modern-sounding Jesus to say. But Jesus actually makes a value judgment. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. Now, in Jesus' response to Martha, I do not think he's being ungrateful for her hard work, but he is speaking into her busy distractions and her resentment. His words may be a gentle rebuke, but they are also, I'm sure, an invitation. Martha, too, can leave the things that worry her and distract her and join Mary for the one thing necessary. At this particular moment, it is more important to simply spend time with Jesus than to make an elaborate meal. Now, of course, Jesus isn't implying that Martha should never do any cooking in the kitchen, or that we should never do any practical service for others and simply spend all our time in his presence, listening and prayer. Far from it. We are called to serve our neighbours in practical and sometimes very costly ways, as we heard in the parable of the Good Samaritan last Sunday. Jesus himself was a man of action who spent his time constantly giving himself to others. But he was also a man of prayer who spent time in intimate communion with God, his Father. He certainly didn't spend his time being busy for the sake of being busy. All he said and did came out of his loving dependence on his Father. His doing came out of his being, his deep rootedness in God. And it was his rootedness in God that was the source of the life and fruitfulness of his words and his actions. Now, some spiritual writers over the centuries have used this passage of Mary and Martha to divide people into those living active lives in the world, the Marthas, and those living lives of prayer and contemplation in religious orders, the Marys. But other spiritual writers have encouraged us to realize there is potentially a Martha and a Mary within each one of us. Our active service for Jesus needs to come out of our prayerful listening and receiving from Jesus. But the danger, especially in our activist culture, is that we spend far more time being busy, sometimes frenetically so, with a great deal of distraction, like Martha, than being still in God's presence, listening to him and receiving from him. And if we're honest, our judgment is more likely to be the opposite of the judgment of Jesus. We may be tempted to think that the one thing necessary is to be continually busy rather than be still and attentive to Jesus. For many people in our society today, for many people here this morning, work and the duties of daily life are extremely demanding and at times very stressful. There is always so much to do. And it's possible even in ministry within the church to become so busy and so preoccupied, so distracted at times with what we want to do for God, that we fail to make enough time to actually be still and receive from him. Yet, this is where the life-giving energy for all we do comes from. We need to redress that balance, to recognize, yes, there are plenty of times when we should be busy, actively serving others, but there are other times when the one thing necessary is to be still in God's presence, in prayer, and receive his love. Do we build these Mary times into our lives? Busyness can sometimes be seen as a virtue in our culture today, never mind what we are busy with or what the fruit of our busyness might be. We sometimes need to take a step back and ask ourselves, what is most important in our lives? Where do the resources for our practical activity and our service of others come from? What makes our lives fruitful rather than simply hectic? This is a challenge for us all. A couple of weeks ago, I led a retreat for the ordinands who are going to be ordained in the diocese in Europe. And during the retreat, we reflected on the spiritual resources and disciplines we need to keep going and to keep growing in our Christian lives so that we have something to give to others. Now, you might think it's easier for clergy to live a balanced life of prayer and activity than for anyone else. But clergy can get caught up in busyness and neglect the spiritual resources they need just as much as anyone else. But for all of us, whether we are serving in the church, working in the kitchen, caring for a sick relative, teaching or lecturing, serving in high diplomacy or on important board meetings, or looking after our grandchildren, the fruitfulness of our lives, our relationships and our work, in the deepest sense, comes from God, and we need his grace. Now, I know that there is a danger that we might see prayer and reading the Bible as one more thing to do in an impossibly busy and full schedule. And I don't want what I'm saying this morning to make anyone feel that they should be even more busy. Instead, perhaps we can ask ourselves whether all of our busy activity is strictly necessary, and whether we can, in fact, create spaces in our lives to offer to God, to pray, to listen, to be still in his presence. And we may then find that these times are oases of grace, which provide life and nourishment and a new focus in all that we do. In the end, of course, for all of us, men and women, the aim is to integrate Mary and Martha within us, to keep the simple attentiveness of Mary even when we are doing practical things or serving others, so that, like Jesus, all that we are and do comes out of what we have first received from God's grace. Amen.